Válido de lunes a jueves. You
find the safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. 7,033 miles. That's a pretty good drive. It's more than one quarter of the way around the world. It's a lot of gasoline, a lot of truck stops, sights, sounds, and catastrophic near misses on the road. Just a couple days ago, I returned from my, fourth, fifth round trip across America. As you travel from state to state and region to region, it becomes very clear that America is a house divided. And that divide is not a crack, but a chasm as wide and deep as the Grand Canyon. It's not merely political, nor just ideological. It's in the very DNA of each faction. As I've stated before, when you strip away the political parties and rhetoric, there are only two kinds of people in America. The ASTCOs, that's assholes seeking to control others, and LUTFAs, that's leave us the fuck alone. Now, on the face of it, given those two acronyms, one might assume that the LUTFAs would be unfriendly, clannish, closed, standoffish, and surly. That assumption would be very wrong. The places where LUTFAs reside are invariably cleaner, safer, friendlier. The people are happier and more pleasant. In those states and regions, the family is sacrosanct. People believe in God. A lot of them attend churches. Everywhere you go, strangers smile and nod and say hello and even start conversations. Why do they do that? Is it because LUTFAs prefer more suburban or rural living to teeming cities where people live like insects in a hive? That's surely a factor, but it's not the factor. No, I'll tell you what the factor is later in the show. As unpleasant as crowded living conditions can be, most ATCOs seek those conditions out. They are of the hive mind, the collective. Without a crowd, they are lost, because ASTCOs are driven by one feeling, fear. Well, they've got plenty of lust and hatred and greed, but fear is the big kahuna, which is why they are only comfortable in the hive. It's about strength in numbers. Open spaces scare them. So does solitude. I used to know a guy who was also raised in New York, as I was. He was not a LUTFA, but neither was he an ASTCO. He was, somewhere in between. But his wife, she was an uber ASTCO. This guy was in the entertainment business and landed a dream job in L.A. We'd have lunch now and then, and he'd tell me how things were going. He loved his new job. He loved his spacious rented house with a swimming pool and intended to buy one when they were more settled. Trouble was, the wife was not on the same page. She was of the hive mind. She found the relative open spaces of Los Angeles unsettling. She didn't like the idea of her front door opening into the outdoors. She had been raised in Manhattan apartments and preferred a door that opened into a hallway that offered an elevator ride to the street. A street that saw sunshine for only 30 minutes a day when the sun was at its zenith and its rays could reach the sidewalk between the soaring walls of glass and brick. The other 23 and a half hours, the street was in permanent shadow, a weird, artificial netherworld of gray light and zero vitamin D. Millions of New Yorkers live exactly that way. Plenty of Russians and Chinese do too. Anyone actually living in overbuilt, overcrowded cities around the globe does. Some people like that existence. Insects like that existence. Some rodents and invertebrates, too. Most of the people I knew who lived that way could not wait to escape. Each time we'd meet for lunch, my friend grew progressively more distraught. His 9-to-5 life was a blast, but going home, that was rough duty. At night, in his nice suburban L.A. rented home, she would pace the floor for hours, cell phone in hand with 911 on speed dial, convinced some Manson-style maniacs would come crashing through the front door. She wanted back to New York, to an apartment, to hive living with other people, people she never met, above and below and surrounding her. She felt comfort when she'd hear their toilets flush, or smell what they were cooking for dinner, or heard them fighting or having sex or yelling at their kids. At that time, they had no kids. I asked if he had considered divorce, because without kids, marriage is just dating with a contract. If you split, you really can split and never look back. But once a kid comes along, divorce is a cruel myth. He was not pleased by my suggestion. So the next time we lunched, he was looking like shit. It was clear she was grinding him into pulp. She wanted a doorman building. Doorman buildings are pretty common in Manhattan. Some people feel safer in a doorman building. If the doorman was some kind of mafia enforcer, they might be. But most doormen are fat old retired guys who couldn't stop a determined fifth grader from getting inside. There are a few doorman buildings in L.A., but they were out of his budget. I then suggested he rent a doorman, pay an armed guard to stand at his front door for a couple nights and see if that made her feel safer. He said that wouldn't work because she was afraid of guns. The next time we were supposed to meet for lunch, he canceled. He had quit his dream job and was moving back to New York to a doorman building. Fear is what drives ASCOs and their minions. You can see it in their faces, or at least in their eyes, because so many are still masked. Fear radiates from them, almost in a visible wavelength. They are always tense, always on high alert, walking ray guns of anxiety. Sometimes the fear is masked by aggression. You know that pushy, sharp-elbowed, me-first, line-cutting attitude? That's driven by fear. Decisions driven by fear are never good ones, as millions of people around the world are now discovering. Like the fear peddled by governments and media and corporations that induced millions around the world to take an experimental, untested drug falsely labeled a vaccine. And now, the adverse side effects are too broad and common and severe to be suppressed or ignored. And some high-profile people are expressing serious regrets about caving into the pressure and the fear. Listen to celebrity Dan Bongino regretting his fear-based decision.
No emergency situation should lead a company or a government to force people to take something, to force them to take something that may in the long run damage their bodies. Greatest regret of my life, my health. Really, I kid you not. I wound up getting COVID anyway. I wound up getting COVID twice. I wound up, contrary to what people are telling you, what some of them say, well, the cases are milder, which is a counterfactual you can never prove. Well, if you have the vaccine, it could have been worse. You don't know that. It's a counterfactual, number one. And I can't speak to other people's situations, but the case of COVID I got the first time was severe. So much so, it's the only Fox show I ever missed. And now I may have to deal with some long-term consequences.
Bongino does not appear to be a guy easily intimidated. But he caved to the fearmongers. And now says getting the jab is the biggest regret of his 48-year life, and why wouldn't it be? Health trumps everything. When you travel around America, the quickest way to determine whether you are in ASCO or LUTFA territory is by the percentage of masked faces. But well before masks were the emblem of the terrified, there were many other telltale signs. People in ASTCO zones, well, they expend a great deal of energy trying to pretend you don't exist. They pass you in a supermarket or hotel lobby or anywhere, and invariably avert their eyes. Why do they do that? Because when you live in ASTCO territory, as I have all my life in New York and L.A., the only time a stranger ever smiles at you or approaches you is when they want something from you. So, of course, the smart thing to do is meet nobody's eyes and avoid another hustle. In Latvia territory, strangers look at you and speak to you. There's a little town in Arkansas called Conway. One morning I sat outside a coffee joint, not Starbucks. Starbucks is a commie outfit. So I sat outside this place with Moose while my wife and kids were inside placing their orders. In that small amount of time, about a dozen people walked by or came in and out of that store. Every single one of them said hello or good morning to me and Moose. There were college kids, hard hats, and senior citizens. I felt like a rock star. There was a place two doors down, a cavernous building, with a crew going in and out with audio equipment. When I see a Fender amp, I get curious. I put my face to the glass door, and a woman immediately opened it. I fully expected the Los Angeles treatment, which would have been,
"We're closed,"
or,
"Can I help you?"
which in L.A. means, "Get the fuck out of here." Instead, she said, "Hello," and asked if I wanted to come inside for a look around. Well, yeah, I accepted her offer, and she gave a little tour. Turns out the place had once been a car dealership, and some years back it was converted into a space that could handle all kinds of affairs, from weddings to concerts. It was a really cool place with skylights and soaring ceilings built in the 1920s. She asked where we were from, and when I said L.A., I figured the tour would be over. Nobody from L.A. schedules an event in Conway, Arkansas. But that did not stop her tour. She was just being nice. Really, really nice. A few miles later down the road, I realized we were out of bottled water. I stopped in a gas station to grab some. All they had were those big 36 packs, huh? Much more than I needed. So I asked the kid who worked there if he had any smaller sizes, like a six-pack. In L.A., the answer would have been a simple, no. But this kid pulls out a box cutter, slits the cellophane wrapper, and asks me how many I needed. Then he bags them, figures the price per bottle at the 36-count cost, and tells me to have a nice day. If you're living in Latvia country, you're probably thinking, yeah, so. But if you are in an ASTCO urban shithole city surrounded by frightened mask, fuck you, me first style creeps, you are doubtless as amazed by those little stories as I was by the experiences. Even without contact with flesh and blood ASTCOs or Latvias, you know where you are just by the state of the highways. ASTCO states have poorly maintained pothole-filled roads. They have a much larger police presence, speed traps all over the place. When they do highway construction, they suck at it. They stop traffic for 45 minutes, maybe an hour or more. Why? Because they're the fucking government. And although working citizens pay for the highways, government lets everyone know that they own the highways. So when they get around to repairing those roads, you'll just have to sit there and wait. Typical of those states would be New Mexico, Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia. On Route 40 in New Mexico, they have some fool's folly called
safety zones.
They mark off 10-mile stretches and tell you,
zero tolerance. Fines will be doubled for any speed infraction.
What exactly is that supposed to do? Flex government muscle. That's what. In Latvia states, they know people need to get places, so they detour traffic around construction sites. Traffic still moves, even when repaving is in progress. In ASTCO states, they're also real big on issuing orders all the fucking time. Those flashing LED signs on shoulders and overpasses. Click it or ticket. Buckle up. It's the law. In ASCO states, the rest areas are dirty, depressing dumps. Taking the shithole crown would be one in Joey Biden's home state, Delaware, which should be renamed Unaware, considering his condition. It was a dump. But inside was a temple to Joey. A glass display case with pictures of Joey cheesing it up with local political weasels on its dedication. His name spelled out in a 12-inch font. It could make a pig puke. Sadly, no road in any state has a goddamn word to say about the single most lethal thing on our highways, and that is texting fucktards. That's the real pandemic. And nobody's doing anything about it. At any given time, I would estimate 30 or 40% of assholes are texting while driving. They are young and old, in Mini Coopers and big rigs. Everybody's doing it. You can spot them from a mile off. They're not keeping up with traffic. They're not keeping a lane. They drift over the white lines and onto the shoulders because they've got better things to do than look in the road. And they're killing people. They need to be stopped. Are politicians doing anything? Are cops? Somebody came up with a gizmo called the Textilizer. Looks like a tablet. If a cop thinks you're texting, he can pull you over, plugs your phone into the Textilizer, and it instantly gives a readout of all the recent activity on the phone. It's not in use anywhere, though. Privacy advocates don't like it and say it's intrusive. But so is making somebody take a field sobriety test. Why isn't there more pressure and outrage? Well, just imagine the Washington lobbying muscle of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, Samsung, and Apple. You think they want cell phone usage curtailed? Hey, a few minutes back, I promised to reveal the fundamental difference between ASTCOs and LUTFAs, why one group lives in terror and the other does not. When you meet a true LUTFA, what you first notice about them is serenity. Where does that come from? Serenity and fear cannot coexist. LUTFAs are pretty much unafraid. Where does that serenity and courage come from? LUTFAs tend to be spiritual people who believe in God and an afterlife. If they don't get the best parking space at the supermarket, or the latest iPhone, or have a home that's 15 square feet less than a neighbor's, they don't sweat it. They have a deep understanding that this ride on this spinning ball is oh so temporary, and that when it's time to release the safety bar and step off the roller coaster of life, they'll be stepping into a better place than any human mind could possibly comprehend. That's how they stay chill and happy. At the core of ASTCO's fear is the original and only fear, the unknown. Most ASTCOs are atheists. They don't believe in God or an afterlife. They believe in government and experts and the science. And in the last year or so, government and experts and the science have rat-fucked them, and they know it, lied to them mercilessly. So their godless world is crumbling before their angry eyes. A few may see the light, but most will double down, and their teeth and elbows will get sharper. Their greed and rage will increase. But nothing they can legislate or buy or burn or ingest can change the fact that their fear is ultimately fueled by hopelessness. They know that eventually they too must raise the safety bar and exit the ride. But when they do, they step into oblivion. The ultimate unknown. And that scares the shit out of them. Every waking moment, and probably in REM sleep, too. Those are my truth bombs from 7,000 miles across America. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to the show page, thatlarryshow.com. You'll find hundreds more episodes. I'll post some pictures from the road trip. You might dig them. While you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you like what you just heard, send a link to a friend. Leave a 5-star review wherever you download. If you really like what you heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and support the show. Help me continue to call out commies and the garbage that's destroying America, your home, and mine. If you are a Lutva, tell the world and grab yourself a Lutva weatherproof magnetic sticker for your vehicle, fridge, or whatever. Only $10 or 3 for $25. Check them out at thatlarryshow.com. Just click the PayPal button and be sure to mention the word Lutva with your order. My friends, wherever you travel, across the continent or across the street, beware the Astcos and keep a smile at the ready for fellow Lutvas. We like to be alone, but we've got to stick together. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.